Wonder if we could turn our Bibles, please, to the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 28. And we're going to read from verse 1 of the chapter, Isaiah, chapter 28. I'm beginning our reading at verse 1 of the chapter. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 28. And beginning our reading at verse 1. Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are on the head of the fat valleys of them that are overcome with wine. Behold, the Lord hath a mighty and a strong one, which as a tempest of hail and a destroying storm, as a flood of mighty waters overflowing, shall cast down to the earth with the hand. The crown of pride, the drunkards of Ephraim, shall be trodden under feet. And the glorious beauty which is on the head of the fat valley shall be a fading flower, and as the hasty fruit before the summer, which when he that looketh upon it seeth, while it is yet in his hand, he eateth it up. In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a diadem of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate. But they also have erred through wine and through strong drink are out of the way. The priest and the prophet have erred through strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They are out of the way through strong drink. There in vision they stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue shall he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward, and be broken, and snared, and taken. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men, that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lions, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down bad. For the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you, for morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in Mount Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bounds be made strong. For I have heard that the Lord God of hosts, a consumption even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear, and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Doth the ploughman plough all day to sow? Doth he open and break the clods of his ground? When he hath made plain the face thereof, doth he not cast abroad the fetches, and scatter the common, and cast in the principal wheat, and the appointed barley and the rye in their place? For his God doth instruct him to discretion, and doth teach him. For the fetches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned about upon the common, but the fetches are beaten out with a staff, and the common with a rod. Bread corn is bruised, because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with his horsemen. This also cometh forth from the Lord of hosts, which is wonderful in counsel and excellent in working. Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to all of our hearts for his name's sake. Can we turn in our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 28, to the portion of scripture that we read? And I'm going to take verse 20 as my text tonight, where it says, "For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it." We're going to talk about short beds and narrow blankets tonight. Let's just unite together, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father, we thank thee for the role that is called up yonder, and for each one that can say, "I'll be there." Our God, we thank thee for each one who can read their titles clear to mansions in the sky. We're glad, O God, of the great assurance that we have in our hearts of sins forgiven. And, O God, we pray tonight that men might, and women and young people might leave aside the restlessness and the turmoil and the stresses of this whole world. And, O God, that they might find peace and rest in our blessed Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. Draw near to our hearts and be with us at the end of our meeting tonight. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen. Amen. When I was preparing this message, I watched a video of a young woman. She was only 28 years of age, but at 28 years of age, she'd already been a widow for 5 years. Her husband had been an American soldier. He'd been out fighting on a tour of duty. He had come home, and the turmoil and the stresses of the tour of duty evidently had paid their toll upon his heart. The couple had 2 children, and their 3rd child was lost in a miscarriage. Now, whether it was that or whether it was something else, but something triggered this man off. And after that miscarriage, he could not sleep. And no matter what he did, he tossed and he turned and he walked about at night. And no matter what he did, he was benighted by insomnia. He couldn't sleep. Now the young woman urged him to go to the doctor. Go and see about yourself. Go and try and get yourself sorted out. But he was a soldier. He said, I can't admit to weakness. If I do, I lose face in front of my colleagues. And he said, I'll get through it. But he didn't get through it. And eventually, through lack of sleep and through the turmoil that he was in, he committed suicide. The young woman wanted to know what had happened, and she began to investigate the symptoms that he was displaying. And she discovered, of course, that he was suffering from post-traumatic stress. And the man had killed himself. But a big part of the problem was the lack of sleep. You see, we need rest. The body needs rest. The mind needs rest. And if we don't have rest in our bodies, it'll not be long until we break down. Our mind will break down. Our bodies will break down. And we think of the lack of rest and the trouble it brings. And is it significant here, in this portion of Scripture, that the God of heaven uses this picture of lack of rest as a picture of the sinner. Isn't that the life of the sinner? A life of turmoil, a life of trouble, a life of annoyance. Your eyes get heavy, but you need rest, you need recuperation, but you don't seem to find it. In this world in which we live, there is no rest, there is no help, there is no peace to the soul. Dear friend, tonight maybe that's you. As we look at this picture here of the short bed and the narrow blankets and the uncomfortableness of that, you think of somebody in a short bed. Now, I'm not too tall, but there have been times when I've got into a bed, and of course at the start it's okay. You can curl up and you can get into such a comfortable position. But it's not long before you want to stretch. It's not long before you want to get the limbs stretched out. And when you can't do it, it becomes an annoyance, and that takes away sleep. Or you think of the picture of the narrow blanket. The blanket that doesn't cover you. And your feet, maybe I can think of times when my feet were sticking out of the blankets. And you know, on a cold night, that can wake you up. That can cause annoyance. And maybe you're like the picture in this portion of Scripture where we have the short bed and the narrow blanket. Dear friend, there is that restlessness in your heart tonight. Here is a picture that the Lord wants you to see. Here's a picture that the Lord is bringing before you tonight. And I want you to see yourself as you lie upon a short bed with a narrow blanket. I want you to see this picture that is drawn in our portion of Scripture for a few minutes tonight. And I want you to see, first of all, we have the picture of being uncomfortable. If you have a short bed and a narrow blanket, you're not going to be too comfortable. And there is the powerful picture again of the uncomfortableness and restlessness of sin. You know, at the end of the day, you cannot rest in sin. Sooner or later, sin will bring shame or will bring embarrassment to you. And dear friend, you cannot rest in sin. I want you to see that conviction will make you uncomfortable. There is something that God has put in the hearts of men and women and gives them a powerful testimony to the law of God. And it's a little voice that speaks in your heart, a little voice that speaks in your mind, that tells you you've gone wrong. You've wronged somebody. You've done something against the law of God. The psalmist said in Psalm 32, "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day." We think of the psalmist's plaintive cry in Psalm 38 and verse 4, "For mine iniquities are gone over mine head as an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." Maybe you have felt that weight. You have felt the convicting power of God. You think of how you've tried to cover it over and forget about it, and there's that thing that rises up before you. You know, after John Wesley's death in 1791, William Bramall was one of the most significant evangelists and revivalists among the Methodists. And he describes a meeting that he preached in like this. He said, "I had not discoursed long when the congregation melted into tears. This abated for a few minutes till a little boy about 7 or 8 years of age cried out exceeding piteously indeed, and wept as though his little heart would break. I asked the little boy what he cried for. He answered, 'My sins.' Then I asked him what he wanted. He answered, 'Christ.' Others were so earnest for a discovery of the Lord to their souls that their eager crying obliged me to stop, and I prayed over them as I saw their agonies, distress and distress increase. Oh, the distress and anguish of their souls! all the pains that were upon them. Many of the assembled were deeply affected, groaning and sobbing. There was great weeping and mourning. Now that's a description of revival. There is heightened conviction of sin. And dear friend, I want you to see, at least, here were men that were uncomfortable. They were down. They were sobbing. And maybe you've not come to that place. But oh, God is working in your heart. And as you've listened to the word of God in the past, God has reached down and put his hand upon you and so shown you the awfulness of your sin. We think of this great revival. Men and women today are not comfortable with conviction. You know, I read an account that took place in the Oklahoma Wesleyan University where Dr. Everett Piper, the principal or the president of the college, had been preached. And he was preaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And he was preaching about the fact that the students ought to have love one for another. And believe it or believe it not, but it's true, one of the students came and complained afterwards that the preacher was making him feel bad, and that he shouldn't make him feel bad, and that it was an awful thing to make him feel bad. And the president wrote to the paper afterwards, what his reaction was to the complaint was too bad. He said, tough. But today we have a group of people, and particularly young people, who think that they have a right not to have their feelings hurt. Not to have anything said to them that will make them think. Well, dear friend, if you've come to this meeting with that thought, I want to make you think. Oh, men who preach the gospel today are labelled as bigots, as victimizers, as oppressors. But if I've got to get you to think about your sin, if I've got to make you, I have to make you feel bad. You've got to come to the point where you realize your sin. Conviction will make you uncomfortable. But then also realization will make you uncomfortable. That realization of where you are going. We read in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. We need to get up out of our sleep. And dear friend, you're drifting on. Drifting on in your sin. Drifting down to a lost and Christless eternity. And isn't it time that you woke up and saw the danger? The Herald of Free Enterprise, the car ferry was going between Dublin or Dover in England and Zeebrugge in Belgium. And the whole front of the ship was open so cars and lorries could be opened. And there was a man who was responsible for closing the door. He was Bosun Mark Stanley. But as the ship moved out of the harbour, the problem was that Mark Stanley was asleep. And there was no light on the bridge to tell the captain that the door was still open. He was looking to Mark Stanley to close the doors. But the ship sailed out into the harbour with the door open, and the waves began to come in, and that ferry sank 6th of March 1987. In 90 seconds it capsized, and 93 people lost their lives. Mark Stanley was sleeping. What it must have been when he awoke and saw the danger and what he had caused. But dear friend, he awoke too late. And I say to you, don't awake too late. You realize where you're going. How disastrous it is to drift out into eternity and not to see where you're going. Dear friend, when there is a realization of where you're going, it'll make you uncomfortable. A.W. Pigg wrote, he said, it is the deepening conviction of the writer that what is most needed today is a wide proclamation of those truths which are least acceptable to the flesh. I've got to tell you the things that you don't want to hear, but you need to hear them You're going down to a Christless eternity outside of Christ. So we see that short bed and the narrow blanket makes you uncomfortable. Are you uncomfortable in your sin? Is there that unease tonight? Can you see the unease that you have in your own heart and in your soul? But not only do the short blankets and short beds and narrow blankets remind us of that which is uncomfortable, but it reminds us of that which is unclean. You see, the picture here of the narrow blankets means that this person is exposed. There is the thought here of shame. There is not enough to cover their shame. The narrow blankets are not enough to cover them. And men, women, are you being exposed? Exposed? You see, the other picture that is given in the portion of Scripture here, it speaks here in this portion of Scripture about these people who have a refuge of lies. They're depending on a refuge of lies. This is the same picture of being covered by a short blanket, trusting in a refuge of lies. And what have they done? They had come to the point where they were deceivers, but they weren't just deceiving others, they were deceiving themselves. And there they were in their shame, and in their nakedness, and in their exposure, and they're trusting that all is well, and they're trusting in a refuge of lies. And God says, I'll pull down your refuge of lies. I'll expose what you are. Sin will be exposed. Look at verse 15. He says, because you've said, you've made a covenant with death and with hell, are ye at agreement? When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Look at verse 22. Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong. God is saying you're deceivers, you're mockers. But God says, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. These people were trusting in their uncleanness. It says that they'd made a covenant with death and with hell. Is that what you're doing? You're looking to the unclean things of this world. You've made a covenant with death and with hell. Or you say, oh, I've made a covenant with death and with hell. Well, dear friend, outside of Christ, then death and hell has the victory over you. But in Christ we can say, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And I want you to see that these people are unclean. Narrow blankets. They're exposed. Their shame is exposed. Is God exposing your shame? As you stand before him tonight, now in all honesty, dear friend, is God exposing your shame? Not only were these people uncomfortable and unclean, but I want you to see they're uncovered. The bed, it says, is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrow that he can wrap himself in it. And we think of how there is, if you have a narrow blanket, there's always some part of you exposed. And in colder climates, that could be fatal. You need a covering. You need a covering. And you cannot trust in a defective covering. You cannot trust in an inadequate covering. But these people were trusting in a defective covering. And the Bible says that there must be a covering for sin. In the Psalm 32 and verse 1 it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Is your sin covered tonight? Are you covered over in the robe of righteousness that our Father gives to us? Are you covered in the blood? Are you washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? Dear friend, are you trusting in him? So many are looking to short covers, narrow covers tonight. People are looking for the wrong cover. Maybe you're looking to the cover of good performances. I'm talking about good works. Empty, hollow, miserable, good works, because they bring no hope for eternity. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but according to his mercy has he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. No one ever got to heaven by what he's done or what he's achieved, for we can do nothing." You can do nothing, dear friend. You can't get there by your good works, by your charitable performances. All those things are irrelevant as far as salvation is concerned. And if that's what you're trusting in, it's a narrow cover. Oh, you can cover yourself a little bit. And my, you can look respectable. And when people are looking at one side, there you are, and there's the cover, and it looks so good. But when somebody comes round the other side, you're exposed. It's no good, dear friend. Narrow covers. Not only are there those that are trusting in the narrow cover of good performances, but we think of those that are trusting in the narrow cover of grand professions. Some people are fond of curling up in the short bed of an empty profession of faith. Some trust in a decision that was made years ago, a decision that maybe resulted from an emotional moment, but there was nothing there. And you know there's nothing there. You have no interest in the things of God. No interest in God's Word. No interest in the place of prayer. And again, you can look so good. The empty profession can look so good. You can get the cover around you in such a way as it seems at the outward as if everything's okay. But it's not. Isn't it? It's not. We think of those that the Lord spoke about in Matthew chapter 7 and verses 21 and 22. He said, "Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy..." Have you ever prophesied in the name of God? Have you ever preached the word of God? These people preached. "Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out devils." You ever see that? These false professors were able to cast out devils. Have you ever cast out a devil? "And in thy name," they say, "we have done many wonderful works." But the Lord says to them, "I never knew you." And that's the crux. Does God know you? Are you His? When you stand before Him, does He know you? Do you enter into His presence? Are you in acquaintance with God? Does He know you? Oh, these people had done many wonderful things, but they had never trusted Christ. The Lord says, "Believe," or the book of Acts says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Dear friend, you need God's salvation. These people, they cried, "Lord, Lord." But the Bible says, "Even the devils believe and tremble." If you just read the Gospels, you read about the evil spirits and the devils, they recognize the Lord. But they don't know Him. And the thing is, dear friend, we need to know Him. Something else that people trust in as a narrow blanket, and that's grievous procrastination. You see, multitudes are depending upon tomorrow to be saved. Is that your narrow blanket? Is that the thing that you wrap around yourself when the gospel is preached and you seek to protect yourself from the proclamation of the gospel and you say, well, tomorrow I'll be saved. Some other day I'll get right with God. Some other day I'll come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. You know what the Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Today is God's day of salvation. Today, if you'll hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Remember, many of those that wanted to get right with God at the 11th hour died at 10:30. Give your life to Christ today. Don't dice with your soul. Don't dice with your eternity. Give your life to God. Tomorrow is no calendar except the almanac of fools. You need to get right with God today. We've passed into 2018. We recognize that time is passing away, and it's passing away for you, and you need to get right with God. Dear friend, the Bible says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. You need your sin covered. So there's a wrong way of covering your sin, but there's also a right way. And I'm glad today that the Lord Jesus Christ provides the covering for sin. Where is that covering found? We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, for it says, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. It says in Romans 4 and 5, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted to him for righteousness. What you need is a covering of righteousness. Where is the righteousness found? It is found in the righteousness of the blessed Redeemer, the blessed Son of God, who lived a perfect life and went to the cross of Calvary and shed his blood, who is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Where can you get your sins covered? At Calvary. Where is your sin made right? At Calvary. It's at the cross. It's where that precious blood was shed. Paul wrote to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 18, and he gave this testimony. He said, I am found in him, that's in Christ, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Are you covered in his righteousness? Are you saved tonight? Are you washed in the precious blood of the Lamb? Have you ever come and trusted him? Isn't it about time that you had a proper covering, not trusting in the narrow blanket or the short bed tonight, but coming to the one who gives full, sure, true salvation? Men and women, you find at the cross the covering that you need. But there's one more thing I want you to see about this short bed and these narrow blankets. And that is that it speaks of those that are unclever. You think of somebody putting up with a short bed and narrow blankets for any amount of time. And they're there and they're uncomfortable. And they're uncovered. And they're exposed. And the wind and the drafts are getting at them. And there is a blanket, there is a place of rest that is provided, and they don't make use of it. You'd say that that's stupid. That's unclever. And yet, men and women, how many there are in the face of the gospel of Christ and in the provision that Christ has made on the cross of Calvary who despise what Christ has done and will not flee to the place of refuge. Dear friend, all you have to do is take what Christ freely offers in the gospel. He says, come unto me, All ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, come and drink of the fountain of life freely. You don't have to pay, you don't have to give anything for it, but you come and you take of the water of life freely. There is a covering. There is a place of rest. And all you have to do is come. In the midst of the stress and the turmoil of life, in the midst of this day in which so many are dissatisfied with their lives, and maybe at this time of the year you have made New Year's resolutions, and that is testimony to the fact that you're not satisfied with your life. There's something wrong. You're uncomfortable. You're uneasy. Dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ is the God of peace and the God of blessing. And the more we trust in Him and the more we lean upon Him, the more ease and the more rest we have. I'm not saying that children of God are delivered from all the distresses of this life. But in the midst of the distresses of this life, we have a refuge for our souls. We have a God that we can lean on. Do you? Outside of Christ, you don't. Dear friend, you can be wrapped in the garment of Christ. You can find refuge under the shadow of His wings. We read in the Bible that as a hen fluttereth over her chicks and wraps them around with her wings, so the Lord is round about His people. He brings us into the place of comfort and rest and assurance and peace. And He can bring you there tonight. Don't dwell in the place of unease, but come to the God of rest tonight and have your sins forgiven and be cleansed in the precious blood of the Lamb. Will you trust Him tonight? Will you come to Him? Will you ask Him to be your Savior? Don't rest in a short bed or rest under a narrow blanket. But be covered under the shadow of my Savior's wings. And you can find that shadow and that safety right now. Come to Him. Come now. For Jesus' sake. Let's just bow, please, in a wee word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we thank Thee that there's rest in Thee. We thank Thee that there is refuge in Thee. We thank Thee, our God, that there is redemption in Thee. We thank Thee that there's righteousness from Thee. Our God, we thank Thee that Thou dost supply all our needs according to Thy riches and glory in Christ. We thank Thee we need not be out on the mountains wild and bare. We do not need to be fending for ourselves. But Lord, we thank Thee that we can be found in the blessed Redeemer, our blessed refuge. We pray that Thou wouldst call men and women to Thyself and save them by Thy grace. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. And dear friend, if you do need the refuge, and outside of Christ you do, then come to Him tonight. Trust Him as your Lord and your Savior. We'll sing a verse or two of 227. Please. The hymn 227. Is there a heart that is waiting, longing for pardon today? Hear the glad message proclaiming, Jesus is passing this way. And He is passing this way. Is there a heart that has wandered? Maybe you're wandering tonight, not knowing where to go. Look what it says in verse 3. Is there a heart that is broken, weary, and sighing for rest. Is that you tonight? Was it say, come to the arms of thy Savior, pillow thy head on his breast.